Good morning, everybody. Happy Lord's Day. You know, today we're celebrating again the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I don't know how you celebrate that on Easter, but maybe you got to find some jelly beans or something. That was actually better than that. That was so good to sing with you. You make me sound good. Well done. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at Hayward Wesleyan Church. If you're visiting with us today, I am so glad you're here. Really super special Sunday for us. If you're visiting with us today, first of all, you can be as anonymous as you want, but eventually we want to build a relationship with you, which means we get to share contact information. And so if you're ready to do that, in the seat back in front of you, there's a connection card, and you can fill that out. And in the back, there's people with the lanyards, our welcome team. And to let you know how grateful we are with your contact information, we have a free gift for you. Today's free gift is kittens. It is not kittens, but I won't tell you what it is. You'll have to turn in your connection card. If this is your church home, I just want to celebrate with you. You think about the images that God has to describe us, the bride of Christ, the temple of the living God, the body of Christ. One of the ways that we worship God together is through our giving. And so we never want to make that weird, but I also don't want to ignore the fact that that's a very biblical thing to do. When I was a young person and I had hair, we used to do this thing in church where they would pass a plate or a bag, and you'd put your offering in that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have seen that before. And what I appreciated about that is we would pause partway in the worship service, and as an act of honoring the Lord, we would give back to God a part of our resources. And it was very intentional. You had to do it with thoughtfulness, or if you were sitting by your grandma, she would give you a dollar. But things have, you know, the world's changed, and my bank sends my tithe in. I mean, I tell them to, but I think it's okay for us to pause in a worship service and say, Lord, I gave back to you, and I'm giving back to you, and it comes right out of my account, but I'm doing it on purpose because I want to join that long line of saints who invest themselves fully for the kingdom. Today's a significant day for us. Hayward Wesleyan Church turns 100. Yeah. That's pretty sweet. And truly kick off. This is the first Sunday of our new church year. But to kick that off is, we have a special guest who was here for most of that 100 years. maybe not. Actually, I got one more announcement that probably is not relevant for this group, but next Sunday we're starting at 8 in the morning, 8 a.m. worship service, which I'm figuring you guys are super pumped about that for all those other people. And it'll be geared a little different. It's more liturgical and hymns and sharing communion, but I just at least want you to let you know what the other half of the church might be doing. I am so glad you're here today. Special for us as we get to welcome back to the platform Reverend Dr. Mark Wilson, though I will warn you, if you call him Reverend Doctor, it makes him kind of just, he really likes it if you call him Mark or Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark came here to Hayward in 1991. That's when mauve, I don't know how to say that color, but that was a color back then. Mauve. And he was a youth pastor in California, and God called him to Hayward, Wisconsin, where I'm sure there was a little bit of a culture shock. The church was that way, a small little church building, and the move of the Lord through Pastor Mark, and not just Pastor Mark, but there were several of you that were just significant that God used to reach this community. Mark and Kathy and their family were here for 26 years before Mark left to train pastors in a college in South Carolina. I'm mildly biased for that college because my firstborn went to that school and got to sit in Mark's classes, and she even passed. Well done, Mark. By the way, if you're really just new here, that name, Mark Wilson's like, yes, he is the father of Ryan and Luke and Wes. and Adam and Hannah, but they won't grace us with their presence and move to Hayward. Ladies and gentlemen, this is such a privilege. Steve McVeigh, who's a good friend of Hayward Wesleyan Church, he said, "Ben, the only thing we ever really have is the blessing of God." And this is a man, I've asked him to bless us. Would you welcome a mighty man of God, Pastor Mark Wilson?
Seeing here. This is so beautiful to see the church thriving and so many people coming. It's just great. It's just great. And Pastor Ben, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. God is using you in beautiful ways, and I just think that's wonderful. I bless you and I bless this church. It's just great to see. You know, I watch you. I watch you online. I go to my church, and then I go to your church, right? And it's just really cool to see. And I've been seeing like how the church continues to thrive and to grow and flourish, and the best is yet to come. So the best days are still ahead. And so, you know, you think about 100 years ago, Sidney Hotchkiss, 7-foot-tall logger guy. I mean, he was a logger and a pastor. And so through the week, he cut down trees. And then on Sunday, he would take his little logging wagon and pick up kids and bring them to Sunday school. And they started with a tent meeting, which was just on the backside of the property over here. They started with that. And then they ended up doing the church, buying the church on the corner of 5th and Minnesota. And then when we bought the property, we had no idea at that time that was where the whole thing started at the beginning. 100 years ago, yeah, and I was there for most of it, yeah. But I think that's just really cool. You know, first time I ever met this guy, he was on vacation in the area, and he was a pastor of a church in Iowa, a little town in Iowa, and he came to talk to me about how do you pastor a rural congregation. And so we got to sit down, and as he said that, I thought, there he is. There's our church planter for Minong. He's the guy. We'd started a church. I'd been going up on Saturday night and preaching at that little church up in Minong. And we were looking for a pastor for the church. And there he came. He had no idea that he was going to be the next pastor of the church in Minong. But as soon as I saw him, there it is. Bingo. And we got you. And I'm really glad we did. And then to think, I mean, then that church planted another church, and then you came back home to the mothership, and what a full circle kind of thing. Isn't that beautiful? It's absolutely beautiful. And so, you know, I think about Sidney Hotchkiss, the 7-foot giant of a pastor. Pastors got shorter in the years following that. You've got a picture of him? Yeah, look at that. There's Sid. Yeah, that's Sid. Pretty amazing. What's really cool about that, I just learned this weekend, that Sidney Hotchkiss was the great-grand-uncle of my beautiful daughter-in-law, Stacy. How cool is that? That whole family connection that goes all the way back around. But the reason why he did it was to reach out to the community, to reach out to the people that needed it. Sidney already had a church. He pastored Stone Lake Wesleyan Church. But he said, the people over in Hayward, they need this message. They need the gospel. And so he came over here, and he began doing the work here. And that is really true. And the DNA of this church is still the same thing, that we want to reach out to the community. It isn't about just taking care of the people that we got right here. It's about reaching the people that need Jesus that are out there. And we reach them, and we bring them in. And that's what I see that's happening here. And it's a beautiful thing, Pastor Ben. Keep up the good work. I'm really proud of you for what you're doing. in the basement of the old church on the corner of 5th and Minnesota. The very first week I was there, I explored the whole thing, and I went into the furnace room in the basement, and there was this old pulpit in there from 1925, this old pulpit, a Sid Hotchkiss's pulpit. And there was a sign on the pulpit. It was a little placard that was pasted on the front where the preacher could see it. Nobody else could see it, but the preacher could see it. And it said this: "Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus." It was a reminder to the preacher that the message isn't about the preacher. It's about the one the preacher is proclaiming. And that comes directly from John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I'm going to start in the 20th verse of John 12. It says, "And now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival." The Greeks, by the way. These guys, they weren't raised with the stuff. I mean, they came from a different culture. They came from a different place. They weren't very religious. They were churchy kind of people. They didn't know the ropes of all of that. But they had heard that Jesus was there in God's house, and so they wanted to go check him out. They wanted to see who he was. There are these Greeks, and they came to worship at the festival. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida. Bethsaida in Galilee. Bethsaida literally means the house of fish, kind of like Hayward, Wisconsin, right? It's the fishing capital of the world, Bethsaida. I mean, Peter was from there, and Andrew and Philip, all those guys were buddies from Bethsaida. And so they come to Philip, who's from Bethsaida, and they have a request. And here it is: "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." In the King James Version, "Sir, we would see Jesus." "Ma'am, we would like to see Jesus." Now, one question. Why did you come to church today? Why'd you come to church? Did you come to church just because that's your routine? Of course, yeah, you got to do that. Just my thing. I got to go to church, get that checked off my list. Is that what it is? Or was it to make good business connections? Is that the reason why you come to church? Or you come to church because somebody expects you to, so you're coming out of obligation? Or did you come so you could maybe catch a glimpse of Jesus? To actually experience the living Christ. I mean, that's the whole purpose. It's his church. And we want to meet him and experience him here. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Sometimes we forget. We get into the routine and we don't realize these things. Like one time I remember we sat down to have dinner together, and we always say grace before our food, and I couldn't remember whether I'd prayed or not to say the prayer, and I turned over to Kathy. I said, "Honey, did we pray?" And she says, "Apparently not." She says, "Because if you had been communicating with the creator of the universe, the Almighty One, if you had actually had an encounter with him, you would have remembered whether you did it." Well, yeah, absolutely. There's a difference between praying and just flapping your jaws with your eyes closed. Praying is communing with the Almighty One, the real one, Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And that's the longing of our culture today. It really is. I just read a report just recently from Barna, and what they said was that there's an upsurge just in recent months of young men, Gen Z, those are the folks I teach, Gen Z students, people that are born after the year 2000. Can you believe that? Like all of my students were born after the year 2000. Well, except for the old ones that are coming back to school. But other than that, they're all like Gen Zs. And young men, young Gen Z men are going back to church. They're going to church. We talk about the young generation. Oh, what's the matter with them? They're coming back to Jesus. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They want to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They don't want to just go through the motions. They want to experience the real thing. There's a real hunger, a deep, deep spiritual hunger that's out there right now. I see it in my students all the time. I do. Do you guys know what happened at Asbury College, Asbury University, just about 2 years ago? There was a great revival that happened. They just had a regular chapel service, and it wasn't anything special. But then God showed up and did something beautiful, and it just kept going and going and going. And it went on for weeks without end. The service just kept on going, and people said, what's going on there? They had to cancel classes for several days while they just had to encounter this whole thing and try to figure it all out. People came from everywhere just to experience. Now, Jesus doesn't just live in Wilmore, Kentucky. It isn't like Jesus' address is Wilmore, Kentucky, and you have to get to Wilmore before you see Jesus. But in that particular instance, it was like people were so hungry for something real, something spiritual, and it was happening at this place. And they said, I want to get a close in, get a little taste of that. And so my students, they packed in vans and they drove to Kentucky, like hours away. They went. You know what they did? They prayed all night. They just prayed and praised God all night long, and they weren't bored. Now that's a miracle. They were just so enthralled by this whole thing, and they came back with these beautiful reports. They said, my heart is just so full of love. I just love everybody, and I love Jesus with everything that I got. There was this one young lady, I remember, she was the most sullen, sour student I've ever met. I mean, there was like a cloud over her everywhere. She was like this, like, just like that all the time. Just never once did I see her break a smile. I tried really hard to make her laugh, but she signed up to go on the trip. I couldn't believe that she'd actually show up on that trip, but she went. She went with them. And you know what? When she came back, she was like this. I mean, she had the juice. Things changed for her. She was transformed. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. She said, when I just went there, she goes, I just gave it all over, all my fears, all my hopes, all my insecurities, all the things that I regretted, all my resentments. She goes, I just gave it all over to Jesus, and he filled my heart with love. She actually gave a testimony in front of a whole bunch of people. She actually could do that. She had power to do that. And only an encounter with Jesus could have done that. I can't explain it any other way. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Don't you want to see Jesus to experience the real thing? And so here's what happens. In verse 22, it says they come to Philip, and Philip goes to Andrew and tells Andrew. Andrew's just gifted at this. He helps introduce people to Jesus. He's the first guy to introduce Peter to Jesus. And so Philip says, hey, Andrew, can you help these guys find Jesus? Now, some of you guys, you might get mealy mouth when you're trying to talk about Jesus to people. Does anybody feel that way? Like you try to get to spiritual things and all of a sudden you're going, blah, 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 blah. You don't know exactly how to say it, right? You just don't know how to say it. Well, maybe that's not your gift. Maybe it isn't. But then just get them to Pastor Ben. Just get them to Pastor Ben. He'll help them find Jesus. He'll introduce them to you. So maybe you have the gift of inviting. You can be the bridge. You can be the bridge. And that's a beautiful thing, to be a bridge, to help other people see Jesus. My wife Kathy does that. You know, she does just about every 2 or 3 weeks or so. She packs up a bunch of stuff and goes to the Pickens Flea Market. I never imagined Kathy be a flea marketer kind of person, but certainly that she just does this. And here's why. She goes, it isn't about flea market. That's not really her natural habitat. But here's what she found out. She goes, there are wonderful people at the flea market. Lost treasures is what they are. People that Jesus treasures. And so she's going to the flea market to find the treasures, the people that just need that blessing, that need a word of encouragement. So she takes a few little things just so she doesn't feel like a weirdo, and she sets up her little thing and sells them for 25 cents and then just blesses people all along the way. Every time she comes back home, she has a story to tell me. Oh, I met this beautiful person, and I got to encourage them and bless them, and I prayed for them. And oh, my goodness gracious. See, be the bridge. You can be the bridge. Maybe at your work or at school or wherever you might happen to be, in the restaurant or at Walmart. Shoot, if you go to Walmart, that would just be a short-term mission trip. You just go and bless people along the way. Right? Be the bridge. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Ma'am, we want to see Jesus. But here's a question. Do the people around me see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in me? Do the people who live next door to you see Jesus in you? Do they? What do they see when they see you? Or the clerk at the restaurant or the gas station, do they see Jesus in you? I remember one time I was visiting a woman who was sick, and I just happened to be visiting with her, and she told me she lived next door to a pastor. And I said, well, that's great. That's great you get to live next door to a pastor. She goes, no, it's not. It's not great at all. She goes, he's the crummiest neighbor I've ever had in my whole life. He said, every encounter I've ever had with him is negative, and he's just always complaining about something. She goes, I've never had one positive word ever from my pastor neighbor. She says, if that's what it's all about, then this whole religion business is just a bunch of malarkey, is what she says to me. Now, I don't know what was going on in that pastor's life, and I don't even know who that pastor is, but I can tell you this. That neighbor needed to see Jesus in him. And maybe he was so caught up with his own stuff, he forgot. Maybe he just forgot. He was so busy taking care of his churchy stuff, he forgot about his next door neighbor. What about your neighbor? Do they see Jesus in you? A buddy of mine, his name is Ron, good Christian man. I said, tell me your testimony, Ron. He said, here's how I came to faith. He said, I just watched my next door neighbor. I knew that guy was a Christian. So I just watched how he lived. And when I saw the way he handled things and all that, I thought, I want to be like that. And so he said, I became a Christian because of the way he lived his life, quietly, simply, faithfully. He lived his life, and I thought, I want to do that. And he became a Christian too. I said, wow. You mean, did he know? No, he had no idea. He was just living. I said, whew. Sure makes you want to be careful. And he says, well, actually, he wasn't careful. He was just real. See, if you're faking it, then you got to be careful. You got to be careful in front of your neighbors. If you're pretending, then be really careful. Be careful, right? But if it's the real deal, then you don't have to worry about being careful. You know, you just be who you are. Just be real. Just be real. Real faith, real hope. Be a real human being that's really trusting in God. And when you do that, your neighbor will see, and they'll see Jesus in you. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Ma'am, we want to see Jesus. Your neighbor needs to see it. Well, they get to Jesus. They get to him in the next verse, verse 23. And here's what Jesus says. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now they're like, oh, yeah, we came at exactly the right time. He's going to show his glory right now. He's going to really show us the fireworks. This is exactly why we're here. We want to see it. Give us some zingo, Jesus. Let's do some stuff, Jesus. This is really great. And then Jesus messes up the whole thing. He doesn't do it the right way. He completely goes the opposite direction. He had a great opportunity. And then he hits through the bat and misses the ball, it seems like. He disappoints them. It's time for him to be glorified, it says. And he says, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And Jesus goes on and says, and now my soul is troubled. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. glorify your name. And then a voice, it thunders out of heaven. A voice says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. At the beginning of chapter 12, what we see is Jesus coming in on a donkey. It's called the triumphal entry, and people are shouting Hosanna, and really great things are happening, and everybody's super excited. But Jesus knows where it's headed. It's headed to a cross. And on Thursday night, he's praying all night long in the garden and sweating great drops of blood, and he says, please let this pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then on Friday, they nail him to a cross. That's what it meant when he said, I will glorify it again. His name is glorified in the good time. His name is glorified in the hard time. When everything's great and I'm just singing God's praises and all is well and thank you, Jesus, this is good. Praise the Lord, this is great. God gets the glory. But what about when things go wrong and the wheels fall off the wagon and you get the report that you wish you didn't get and that everything's disappointed and your heart breaks? What do you do then? God gets the glory. I've glorified it. I'll glorify it again. And maybe when we're facing that dark hour, it's when the hour comes, not if, because it's going to come. It comes to everybody at some point or another. The time comes. And the question is, in that time, are you going to glorify the Lord or not? Am I going to keep trusting him or not? Will I stay faithful to him or not? Sir, we want to see Jesus. Ma'am, we want to see Jesus. When you're under great stress and pressure, what's deepest in you is going to come out. And so, like, if you're under great stress and what's coming out of you is bitterness and anger and resentment and all of that, then pray and ask God to recalibrate your heart so what comes out of you when the stress and the pressure is there is just more faith and more trust. And I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust you anyway. That's the idea. That's when you see things. That's when you see Jesus. When you see him in the hard as well as the good. Think about Sabrina Greenlee. Sabrina Greenlee lived in our community there in central South Carolina. She made some difficult decisions, hard decisions, not the best decisions, I guess you could say, in her relationships and stuff. Ended up in a really dysfunctional relationship, and an ex-jealous boyfriend threw acid on her face and just completely disfigured her and blinded her. She lost her eyesight. So she couldn't see anymore. She was a single mom, two little boys, at home all alone. She almost gave up. She almost just gave up on living. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't take care of herself. But there were some people in a church just down the block or two that heard about this story, and those church people, they just went over to her house, and they said, we don't know you, but we heard what happened. We want to help you out. They started loving on her and helping her and encouraging her. They got her to appointments and stuff. They drove her to places because she couldn't drive herself. She started bringing those little boys to Sunday school, and she gave her heart to Christ. And what she said was, I was blind, but now I see. Even though she could see, and then she became blind, actually through her blindness, then she saw spiritually things that she needed to see. And you know what she's doing today? She's a motivational speaker. She travels all over the world giving messages about seeing things that other people don't. That's what she does. She sees things that other people don't see. Sabrina Greenlee, an amazing, amazing woman of faith. Another thing that's pretty cool about that, because she was able to get back up on her feet, she really invested in her kids. She didn't neglect them. She just was there for them. One of those kids went off to college on a football scholarship, and now he's a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. His name is DeAndre Hopkins. Now, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? He went to school right down the road from where I live. We need to see Jesus. And when we go through the valley, the dark, we can still see Jesus. The question is, when we're going through it, will people see Jesus in us? Will he see Jesus in us? I have a friend named Don. He runs a retreat center near where we live. Don went to the doctor one day, and the doctor said, I've got some terrible news. You have a bad, aggressive form of cancer, and we're going to have to fight it with everything. There's no guarantee you're going to make it, but you're going to get really sick. This is going to be hard. And here's what Don's response was. He says, I can hardly wait to see what the Father is going to do with this. The doctor says, sir, excuse me, I'm not sure you're aware of the seriousness of your condition. He says, I most certainly am. And I can hardly wait to see what the Father's going to do with this. Don did it. He went through the stuff. I saw him go through the stuff. It was hard. It was chemo, radiation, surgery, the whole works. But all the way along, he just kept on praising the Lord. It wasn't easy, but he kept on doing it. And I saw God's glory in my friend Don, so much so here I am telling you about him up here in Wisconsin, 1,000 miles away. About a year or so ago, I received a phone call from Sunday Pena's daughter. Jenny called. She goes, Pastor Mark, she goes, I just want you to know Mom just got a bad report. They said she just has a few months to live. She has bad cancer. She's not going to live long. And I wonder if you could call her to try to encourage her, to lift her spirit. And I said, sure, I'll do that. So I get her number, and I call up Sunday. Hey, Sunday, it's Pastor Mark, your old friend. I just wanted to call you. Hey, I heard the news. She says, you're not calling to doom and gloom on me now, are you? Well, I said, well, I was kind of thinking maybe along that line. And she goes, well, no. She goes, that's not going to work. She goes, everybody doing that, doom and gloom. She goes, nope. She goes, here's what if you have words of encouragement, words of hope, words of uplift, then give them to me. Give me all I got. But if you're going to pity me and feel sorry for me and doom and gloom on me, then we might as well just finish the conversation right now. And I said, okay, it's all inspiration. That's what we'll do here today. She says, but here's the deal. She goes, I'm praying that Jesus is going to heal me. And I'll just be a miracle and Jesus is going to heal me, and that'd be awesome. But if he doesn't, and I die and I get to go be with him forever in heaven, well, that's not such a bad deal either. She goes, so either way I win. Either way, I'm good. So don't feel sorry for me. I'm good either direction. It's all good. You just kind of just don't doom and gloom. Just give me hope and remind me of that. And so I certainly do. But she's the one. I guess you could call that a Sunday school lesson, couldn't you? So Sunday was just an amazing woman of faith. Jesus took her home to be with him shortly after that. But she died in faith, just praising, trusting in God. Do they see Jesus in you? Do they? Do your neighbors, your friends, the people around? That's the key. And when we're going through the heavy, it's for his glory. It's all for his glory. Good or bad, rain or shine, it's all for his glory. I'm going to trust him no matter what. His glory is our good. I mean, his glory, it's our good. Romans 8:28, all things work together for what? For good for those who love the Lord. I just double-checked this morning. It's still in there. It's still in there. All for good. His glory, my good. So I'm going to say his glory. I want you to say my good. Ready? His glory.
My good.
Let's do it again. His glory.
My good.
His glory.
My good.
That's right. His glory is my good. All for Jesus. All for him. All for his glory. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Ma'am, that's what we want to see, Jesus. Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Lord, we ask that you would be with us today and remind us that you're here and that you're near. You answer our prayers. You help us with whatever it is that we are facing in our lives. Lord, help people to see you through us. And help us to see you in every circumstance. And I pray, Lord, a special blessing upon this church and upon Pastor Ben and the team. Lord, we pray that many people in this community will see you because of what they're doing. Thank you, Lord, for showing your faithfulness to us over and over and over again. And we'll always remember that as we live for you, you're going to make it good. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Let's sing together.